Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24, entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill, text number 2. Tadabhigyo pi Bhagavan Sarvatma Sarvadarsanaha Prasraya Vanato Prachat Vridananda Purogaman. Okay, one second. I was going to chant more, but you started, so. Tadabhigyopi Bhagavan Sarvatma Sarvadarsana Prashraya Vanato Pracha Vridananda Purogaman. Tadabhigyopi Bhagavan Sarvatma Sarvadarsana Prasraya Vanato Pracha Vridananda Purugama. Ladies, Tadabhigyo. Being in full knowledge about it. Api. although Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Sarvatma, the Supersoul, within everyone's heart, Sarvadarshanaha, the omniscient personality of Godhead, Prasraya Avanataha, bowing down humbly, Aprichat, he inquired, Vridan, from the elders, Nandapuragaman, headed by Maharaj Nanda. Translation. Can I get that phone again? Just 1 second, devotees. I won't be long. I wanted to read something and then I forgot my phone and I'm just pulling it up now. Okay. I haven't found it yet, but yes. Okay. Translation. Being the omniscient Supersoul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation, yet he still humbly inquired from the elders, headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. Purport. Lord Krishna was eager to enact his pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill and defeating the false pride of Indra. And thus, he cleverly inquired from his father about the imminent sacrifice. Om Jnanati Manandasya Ganandana Salakya Shakshuran Militam Yanatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, who is abhigya, who is all-knowing, it says, being the omniscient Supersoul, the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is avatari. He is the origin of all the manifestations of the Lord. So although the Supersoul is an expansion of Lord Krishna has all the functions of all the incarnations simply at his fingertips, because Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. There is one Supreme Lord, but he has many forms. So in all these many forms, the Supreme Lord is existing simultaneously. And although in one sense there is a separation between the various forms of the Lord, in another sense there is not. Simultaneously one and many. So Lord Krishna, therefore, was fully understanding the situation. Krishna fully understood when all the cowherd men were making arrangements for a large sacrifice. He knew exactly what was going on. Krishna is described here as Sarvatma, he who is in the heart of all living beings, and Krishna is also described as Sarvadarshanaha. Sarvadarshanaha means Krishna can see everything. He can see the future, he can see all circumstances. So Krishna can see very well what is the situation with Indra. And Krishna could understand that Indra had become influenced by his unique position. It is not easy. Indra is not a name, Indra is a post. And that living being who is very pious and who has managed to complete 100 Ashwamedha yajñas may attain the position of Indra. And so, a very pious soul. In the Brihad Bhagavad Samhita, we find a description about the various mentalities in the different planetary systems. And it says that in the heavenly planets, the living beings are by nature in the mode of goodness. Therefore, they're always looking at what is authorized. They're always taking shelter of proper etiquette, of a proper behavior, and so on. Whereas in the middle planetary system where we reside, the living beings by nature are in the mode of passion and therefore inclined to give in to their desires and then as an afterthought think, well, maybe not. In the lower regions, tamagun is ruling. So therefore we understand that the deep piety of Indra and how Indra is certainly worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how Indra is certainly interested in upholding principles of Dharma. However, Indra also is attached to his position, attached to his opulence, attached to being glorified. And these attachments are major obstacles on the spiritual path. So in that sense, Indra was, although a great exalted soul who was worshipping the Supreme Lord, a unique personality in the entire universe in terms of his piety, still Indra at the same time had some of these fundamental faults. And these faults are described as the basic subtle anarthas. Besides gross desires for sense enjoyment, there are the subtle anarthas described, such as kutinati, nisida, char, puja, and pratistasa. This puja means hankering to be worshipped. Pratistasa means looking for self-aggrandizement, looking for increasing our own glory and position. Kutinati, then, when we realize we're falling short, then we begin to present ourselves better than we are. Therefore, that is pretense. And it's also a business mentality, because after all, same thing. We're looking for gain of each situation. We're trying to manipulate things in our favor. So, duplicity is the case. And so, we put ourselves entirely in the center. Right? We are the center of everything and simply trying to enjoy I and mine. And as stated In the Bhagavad Gita, yayedam daryate jagat. We spend our time manipulating the material energy for our personal enjoyment. This is the situation. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is writing something about this pratistasa, desire for fame. And in his song or poetry, Dustaman, the vicious mind. Pratistasa taru jadamaya maru napela ravana yujya ragava vaishnavi pratista tate koranista tahana bajile labibe rorava. He says the demon Ravana, lust incarnate, fought with Lord Ramachandra, love incarnate, in order to gain the tree of worldly reputation. But that oasis turned out to be but a mirage cast in the desert wasteland of the Lord's illusory material potency. Please cultivate fixed determination to attain only the steady and solid platform whereupon a Vaishnava ever stands. If you neglect worshipping the Lord from this position, then you will ultimately attain a hellish existence. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is explaining simply a mirage, simply false hope, dreams about glory that is no glory at all and doesn't bring us anything but emptiness and suffering. So Indra was caught up in this network, and obviously not only Indra, we ourselves also. That is the thing. Just as the material influence is still very strongly influencing a Vaishnava who is conditioned to a degree. Even in advanced stages of bhakti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioning the effect of the material energy still to a degree is there. So even in stages like Nista, even in stages like Ruchi, even when there's deep attachment to Krishna, still there may be a some influence of the material energy. In the lower stages of devotional service, Ados Radha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartana Vitishat, there the influence of the material energy is very strong, very strong. So in those lower stages, spiritual life is a constant struggle with the pushings of the senses and the mind, which is not easy. It is by then a strict process of pravrityam cha nivrityam cha, of regulations, a process of regulations that helps us to control the mind and senses. These regulations are protection in terms of, so we're following four regulative principles strictly, we adhere to Vaishnava etiquette to curb our pride, we give respect to seniors externally and so on. But of course, internally it's another matter. The heart is still not pure. And therefore, we are careful. We're very careful. As far as the giving up illicit sex and following the four principles, that we can do in good association. As far as curbing the influence of pride and possibly making offenses, that is a much more complicated matter because it is It is subtle. It is not as easily identified. How humble should we really present ourselves? Yes, we're all supposed to take a humble position. How far does that have to go? Yes. Difficult questions to answer, actually. Right? We see that some of our acharyas are quite strong, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that, "I will not accept any worship." Right? I will not accept any worship. Because out of fear of this false pride. So the pauper is proud of his penny. Right? Even we have nothing to be proud of, still we're proud. So this is all a great struggle. Over time, we become more aware. Over time in spiritual life, as we are getting older, there is a natural mechanism in the material world to make us humble. So we see that the material nature just makes us humble. The very nature of growing, coming to the peak of one's strength and then losing that strength and becoming weak with age are simply humbling. It's a humbling mechanism. So life itself is designed in such a way as to make us humble. In the case of a Vaishnava, we realize that we were too attached to achieving things. We put the goals in service of what we wanted to attain before relationships with Vaishnavas. Oh. That is a very sensitive thing. One has to be very careful. Even in the cause of devotional service, offenses that can be made, and even then, reactions will be there. It's not because we have a title, and therefore we are absolved from reactions to offenses. So in that way, we have to be careful and curb our pride. So on the one hand, Krishna is getting ready to pull down the pride of Indra in various ways, and at the same time, Krishna is also relating to Nanda Maharaj and all the other residents of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj is a great, humble, pure, and dedicated soul. Nanda Maharaj, as a cowherd man, is not a great philosopher. So Nanda Maharaj is doing this sacrifice, and Krishna is asking why. And Nanda Maharaj, is it a tradition? Is it a scriptural injunction? What is the reason for this sacrifice? Krishna begins to inquire. Nanda Maharaj is not so expert in these things. Well, yeah, it's a custom. We've been doing this, you know, for a long time and so on. So Krishna already established here. It's maybe not so authorized what you're doing. Yeah, it's only a custom. It's not really based on scripture. So then, why are we doing? So he's setting the stage. Then he begins to bewilder the mind of Nanda Maharaj by speaking Karma Mimamsa philosophy, how actually these demigods, you don't need to worship them because actually they are not in charge, you see. They are simply governed by laws, and if you are engaging in pious activities, then they have to give a reward. So why you worship them? Just act pious and everything will automatically come. So no need to worship Indra. This is karma, mimamsa philosophy, which we reject. But at the same time, Nanda Maharaj was not a philosopher, and Krishna bewildered his mind. But this is only setting the scene. Here, Krishna is only trying to set the stage for what he really wants to achieve. Krishna has two purposes. One purpose is to cut down the pride of Indra, and the other purpose is to increase the loving ecstasy of the residents of Vrindavan. And he places them in the most difficult circumstances. I mean, rain coming down as big as just water pouring out as the sky, as big as thighs, you know. Serious flooding everything. The Samvartaka clouds are meant for the final deluge, the final destruction of the universe. So they were facing imminent destruction. And obviously that is a point of a very intense experience, emotionally a very shocking kind of experience. Fear becomes something under such circumstances when nature gets out of control, goes wild. it's very overpowering. Even a big thunderstorm can already be intimidating. Right next to your house. Whoa, that was close. Type of thing. So the residents of Vrindavan were emotionally shaken. And then Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, which became a most astonishing thing. And then they start to rationalize, well, of course he cannot carry this hill alone, we better help him quickly, and so on. Because after all, he's just a boy. And Krishna gave shelter to all the residents of Vrindavan, to all the cows, to all the men. Anyway, so Krishna has two purposes in this pastime. One is to increase the love of the residents of Vrindavan. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 4, the internal purpose of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find a description of how spiritual love is eternally increasing and how Srimati Radharani is just discovering more and more qualities of Krishna, and each time her love is also increasing. So this is the nature of spiritual love. There is more and more to discover. And Krishna displays newer and newer features. And Krishna just, in this way, he shows his very human nature and simultaneously his very superhuman nature. And in this way, Krishna knows. One moment he is so human, and everyone feels he is there, he's the dearmost, and next moment he is just all powerful and blows everyone's mind. And then he's a child again. So in this way, Krishna plays with the hearts of his devotees to increase their attachment to him. Indra's capacity to develop deep attachment for Krishna is blocked. It is partially blocked due to this false pride. In the same way, we are also blocked. We are all experiencing that we are blocked in going further. We're following. We did receive mercy. We do follow a process, but then we are feeling that a bit stuck. Chanting and chanting and chanting. year after year. Yes, how many obeisances in a lifetime we could calculate, but has our heart changed? With time, Krishna forces us to reflect, to think about these things. And in this way, makes arrangements for our purification. So all these themes will come out in this chapter, and we can, in this way, very much find ourselves in this chapter. We can very much, by looking at Indra and Indra's mood, we can very much recognize our own conditioned nature. And we can, in this way, try and make a greater effort to take a humble position or to serve the Vaishnavas. One becomes humble not only by taking a humble position, but by service to the Vaishnavas particularly. So somehow or other, let us render service to the Vaishnavas. And in this way, maybe some more humility can develop. Then we will be able to chant Hare Krishna. Then we will be able to go deeper, and we will be able to chant incessantly. Then we will be able to rise above the conditioned influence of material existence, and then we will be able to join the eternal residence of the spiritual world, such as Nanda and Yasoda. Okay. Any questions, any comments? Janardhan Maharaj.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. How can we curb the pride? Because we cannot be humble if there is ego. So how can we curb this, being proud?
We can see that pride is a tendency that is there in every living being, and it is very, very deeply rooted. If it was as simple as us being able to just curb pride, that would be nice. If there was a technique, if there was something we could do, all we can do is take shelter. All we can do is take a humble position. All we can do is become a servant of our spiritual master, a servant of the Vaishnavas, and Krishna will do the rest. It's not that we just are going to curb our pride. Life itself is also going to curb our pride. Okay? It's like... in life, there is a principle called Purna Musika Bhav, be a mouse again. I, in my life, also have many times been a mouse again. Here I was, king of Krishna Balaram Mandir, you know, the temple president. He, Panchagoda Prabhu, is now the president, was my vice president. Yes, he was my humble servant. Yeah, but I wasn't so humble. So Krishna made arrangement. A little bullet from front to back wasn't even such a big bullet, but just a little bullet. It's Purna Musika Bhav, be a mouse again. Right? It took 1.5 years to recover from that shot. For 1.5 years, I had to be mouse, right? You know, the Lion King now had to be mouse again. So in this way, life does these things to us. Again and again, Purnamusi Kabhav, again and again, be a mouse. And each time, mouse wants to be cat, tatastu, cat wants to be dog, tatastu, yes, dog wants to be tiger, now I'm tiger. I'll eat you, be a mouse again. So, this is the story of my life. If you want a title for the story of my life, call it Be a Mouse Again. So the point is, Krishna makes many arrangements for us to come to become more humble. And we can cooperate, right, by taking a humble position. Otherwise it becomes something like throwing water on the floor while we are trying to mop up the water. If we keep on acting very proud, then it will take more arrangements and more arrangements to make us humble. So we try to cooperate and we bow down. But then, even while bowing down, we're proud. Purnamasi Kabhav. Life itself. Krishna will make arrangements through love. Yes? You're getting a microphone? It will come. Just have some patience. Keep your hand up, then they know where it goes.
Hare Krishna. Why is it that the Lord, who is all strong, all beautiful, all famous, if He is really omnipotent, then why is it that He wants to engage in loving exchanges with His devotees?
Why does the Lord want to engage in loving exchanges with His devotees? Because Krishna also... It is not only the devotee who experience ever-increasing love, ever-increasing happiness. Krishna also. That is His brilliant plan. So He's part of the whole thing. It's not that Krishna is just facilitating it all. He's the Supreme Lord. No, He is in the thick of it. He Himself, His love is also eternally increasing. Can you just imagine? So He made that arrangement. So in this way, He shares in the whole experience. Just follow the hands. Hand up. You have? Yes, go ahead. Don't tap it. You break the condenser.
I have a question about pride, because pride seems to like sprout like a weed, or like be invisible until you get humbled or until you make that offense. It's like you don't really see the pride. And are there any like signs that one should look out for just to know if they're getting too proud, or if, you know, if it's approaching before mm-hmm. they get humbled or before they make the big offense? Because
I think when it comes to offenses, the 10 offenses and something like anartan, like pride, it's not that here we are and every once in a while there is this pride lurking behind a tree, and then it will, or just around a corner, and suddenly from nowhere it will jump on us, you know, oh my God, here it is again, and it caught me again. No. The pride is there all the time. That's basically our normal position, is to be in the grip of pride. And therefore, we just follow a system of Vaishnava etiquette which deals with it, which just forces us. Like, for example, do not claim any fame for our own activities. Do not claim glory for anything we've done, something to practice. right? Give glory to others, something to practice. Yes. Bow down to Vaishnavas all the way, nose on the ground, and so on. So there's a whole system. So it's through that system that we become purified. A spiritual master has to become the very center of our life. It's not just I have a spiritual master and a button on my bead bag. It's a spiritual master is meant to be the person we're trying to please at every moment. There we gain humility. There we overcome pride. It all comes out in the wash. So by taking a humble position, the purification will take place faster. And if we are not so good in taking the humble position, then that mouse, these mouse dynamics kick in again. Okay? Then we get, so it's either bow down or get smashed, basically. That's what it boils down to. Yeah. Yes. There's a middle button. Okay, yeah. Yeah, whoever has the mic, do not turn it off. Okay. Give it to a technician.
Hey. Maharaj, it was very nice class, and I'm very happy that you raised the intricate points about the false ego. I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that the moment we forget the Lord, that moment our false ego, ahankara, increases.
Yeah.
So we are not allowed to forget the Lord. This is why in Bhagavad Gita the Lord says, Satatam kirtayantam mam, it is for our benefit, he says.
Yeah.
And in Vrindavan here only, on Ekadashi, I was hearing Prabhupada's lecture. Prabhupada was mentioning that it is very difficult to control the mind. It is very important to control the mind. And to control the mind, there are two things to do. One is to think about the lotus feet of the Lord always. And another is to take the worries of the Lord and work on that. Like on the missionary spirit. Work on the missionary spirits. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, while I was reading, Sanatan Goswami wanted to escape. So he was speaking to the guard, and he was telling him to let me go. Let me go, one who does this charity, also gets this charity. And there he speaks about, Prabhupada writes about sense gratification.
You have a conclusion?
Those who engage in sense gratification.
Can I ask one thing? Are you making a comment or are you asking a question?
Asking questions.
Okay, then just to make it, if you're asking a question, then what is it exactly?
Yeah. So, Prabhupada writes there that because of engaging in sense gratification, the avaratmika shakti and the prakshepatmika shakti covers the living entity. Now, I feel very difficult how to preach the world, how to introduce, because the sense gratification is so strong, the bhoktaram.
So what is the question?
How to affect the people, because it's going very fast.
How to affect the people. Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay, you have painted struggle with the material energy. You have painted sketched our inability with quoting from various sources. And it is a fact. It's easy to say we should always remember Krishna, never forget him, but I have lived here in Vrindavan, and I found that I had a great ability to forget Krishna even in the middle of all of this. Even while I'm standing in front of the deities, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, and singing the song nicely, my mind has the capacity to wander off into away from Krishna. So my power to forget Krishna is incredible. And as a result, the potency to spread Krishna consciousness is greatly diminished. That is the point. That is why Srila Prabhupada was different, because he really was only focused on Krishna. And that is why one man could just do more than all of us together. Yeah. So what can we do? We are confronted with our own insignificance, with our weaknesses, with our lack of advancement. So all we can do is try to become more serious, try and make a serious effort. And when we put in everything in terms of effort, then for the rest we depend on Krishna. How much advancement he will give us. I want Krishna prema, but ultimately, it's not up to me. Krishna will give Krishna prema. Right? So, we make an endeavor, and then we wait for Krishna, for whatever, when he will give us the purity and the power. And meanwhile, as we're not so powerful, we are assisting those who are more powerful. And in that way, we are a movement of assistance. We are all assistants, you know. In this movement, we should simply all become an assistant. We should find people to assist who are greater than we are. And then the movement will spread.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, pass it on. Yeah.
Maharaj, thank you for the class. I think just the voice is so soothing. My question is that Prabhupada many times says that we have this bodily platform, mental platform, intellectual and spiritual. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says many times, Tasmad Yogi Bhava Arjuna. Now we are following Bhakti Yoga. That is our primary thing. So my question is, there are many other yogas like Patanjali Yoga System, Ashtanga Yoga, Hatha Yoga and so on and so forth. They have these asanas and pranayamas and other methods. So these kind of make your body little healthy and mind little peaceful. So can we practice that so that, with a peaceful mind, we can, surrender and do more bhakti to Guru and Krishna?
We can practice so many things. We can make so many material arrangements so that we can serve Krishna better. And that's one approach. Right? So let me make all the material conditions 1000% favorable. Let me arrange everything. And then I'll serve Krishna. Yes. Then I can serve him better. But the real thing to do is only service, not a moment for anything else. So where is the time to do this other yoga? Where is the time? We have no time. Where is the time to do all these things? Yeah. So it is anyabhilasita sunyam. We're just 24 hours, every moment, engaging in devotional service. So we are not making separate arrangements to make more favorable conditions. We're just engaging in devotional service and increase that devotional service. And all the conditions will become better and better. So no need. No need. No need. Just engage in devotional service. Tadara the influence of the lower modes of nature, the unpeacefulness, will disappear by devotional service itself. No need for any other technique. Only devotional service. Kechit kevalaya bhakti avasarev parayana. Nothing else. Anyabilasita sunyam. jnana karmati anavritam. So nothing, no karma, no jnana, no anyavilasita, that extension of the word means etc. It's in Acharya say it includes yoga. We don't need yoga. It will just distract us from serving Krishna. So we're following Rupa Goswami, not Patanjali or any other process. Only Kichit Kevalaya. Keval.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, when Pulastya Muni took Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, he carried him. And yesterday we heard that Krishna assumed the form of Govardhan. So was it at this moment that Krishna became Govardhan, or already when Pulastya Muni was carrying him, it was Govardhan? Or is it like the Singhadev, like the Lord appears in a form and then again disappears?
You'd have to look what the acharyas would say on such a question. But from what we understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Giriraj as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Supreme Lord is not sometimes the Supreme Lord and sometimes not the Supreme Lord. He's always the Supreme Lord. So Govardhan is always the Supreme Lord. Yeah. Like that. Always. It's not that he can become the Supreme Lord later on. No, he is. He always is. Eternally so. Okay. 9 o'clock is approaching. Last question. Shoot.
How do we find the balance between wanting to glorify the Vaishnavas but knowing that they are also trying to practice humility, and in glorifying them you may increase their sense of pride, but then you still want to glorify, so how do you do that?
Yeah. One should not glorify, generally speaking, we're not glorifying Vaishnavas in their presence. That is the injunction. Only on special occasions, maybe. So, glorifying Vaishnavas is something desirable, but a little bit bound to etiquette. We're not praising someone in front of him. Therefore, the focus should not be so much glorify the Vaishnavas, serve the Vaishnavas. That's more important. And on special occasions, we glorify the Vaishnavas. But otherwise, let us assist the Vaishnavas. Let us serve the Vaishnavas. Let us help them in their service. That is the more powerful approach. Looks like we have come to the end. When the bell rings, it's over. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.